Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the London Rivals. Jaime here, host and co-host Eddie, back in our time zone, bro. How you doing, dog? How do you feel? How's the jet lag? How's the depression? You know, all that good stuff, bro. Talk to me.
The depression. Yeah, well, the depression's over, if that's what you even said. Feeling good, though. Otherwise, the jet lag was really rough. I'm not going to lie. It was really rough. And I was kind of sick, too, like, you know, so it was pretty tough. But no, I'm feeling great now. Not sick. Feeling good. Jet lag's gone. So yeah, man, feeling great now.
Yeah, man, when I asked you, I was like, you know, I expected, because the way back, you said it was a one-way, right?
Right.
Or, excuse me, a straight shot back home?
Yeah, it was, ¿cómo se dice? Yeah, just straight, no layovers, nonstop. That's what it is. I don't know. Wow. I'm gonna have to edit that. Yeah. It's just nonstop, straight back.
Yeah.
Flight, yeah, the plane was kind of small. So
yeah, it really that's that how like when you told me you're like, oh, I'm on Qatar, I was like, oh, this is gonna be chilling, you know, woo-doo-woo, expensive Qatar Airlines. And then when you told me, I was like, oh, dude, it was a terrible 15-hour flight or however long it was, I was like, oh.
Yeah. Ouch. Yeah, it was tough, dude. It was tough, but yeah.
Hey, not here nor there, I guess. But let's get right into it, bro. You know, depression is set in, I guess, or has disappeared now. Mexico for the first time in 44 years, which is, I think, I don't know, one of the longest standing ones.
76, when was it?
Yeah, 76 or 78. Do the math, you people on the other side of the mic or the channel, ear, stream, whatever. Yeah, 44 years to not make it out of the group stage, bro. You were at the Saudi game.
Yeah.
At 2-0, how were you feeling after that free kick, bro? What was the aura like for you, right? Because you were going into this very realistic. And what was the aura around the stadium when that 2-0 free kick from Chavez went in?
Yeah, I mean, got there kind of early too, so the vibe was cool throughout the whole time just leading up to it and arriving. It was like we knew, I knew that we had to put in four if the Argentina Poland game was going to be 0-0, you know? So I knew four goals needed to go in and, at least minimal, right? So right. I was like, okay, pues ya, I mean, lo que se pueda, ¿verdad? And sure enough, everybody's just having a good time, as in just cheering and just kind of being positive. And fuck, entra el primero, al 47, algo así.
Late.
Yeah, it was, honestly, it was kind of late. But I think at that point, the Argentina game was already 2-0, I think. Or maybe, yes. Was it the second half? The I'll goals over right there?
Now. Keep talking, I got you.
It was second half as well. So actually, it wasn't 2-0 yet. But so we were both 0-0. And I remember thinking, like, dude, we need to get a goal in. And volteo, I look away from the field, and sure enough, Henry Martin, bing, llegó el DJ. Oh, fuck. Like, this is it. All right, cool.
We scored, by the way.
Right.
We scored in the 46. We scored in the 47th. So it was like right after another que metieron los goles Argentina y Mexico.
Yeah.
So it was going to plan at that point.
Right. And so at that point, we were like, okay, todavía faltan dos goles. Like, we were obviously playing the better game for that Saudi, in that Saudi game. So I thought we were doing real good. I had positive vibes that we could score another one. And sure enough, like, Chavez scores another. That free kick is a banger. Banger of a free kick. Really good.
The World Cup right now, bro? I mean.
Yeah, no, really.
It's
yeah,
up it was, there, right? It's like it's 35 yards out, bro? Just to put it where he put it?
For sure. No, totally. It definitely was. At that time, because I think since then there's been probably, I think, two goals, the one from Richarlison and the one from Paqueta. That was probably just as good. But
that was a very good, yes. Richarlison's, yeah. I really don't care for it, but Paqueta's is You got to keep that low and flat across the face of the goal. That's exactly solid.
Yeah. Right. Well, the people were saying the Richarlison one just because of the technique, the little heading, bouncing, kicking it over, the back and forth, blah, 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 blah.
Some Brasileños, like, Ronaldinho used to do that shit in his sleep.
Right,
bro.
Right, exactly. See the double, bro? Come on. Come on. Yeah. So, no, I'm with you.
These days.
Right. I'm with you on that, but. No, for sure. I think contender for goal of the tournament. And at that point, I was just like, oh, shit. Yeah, 2-0. Let's look at the other game. I think at that point, it was about to be 2-0 because Argentina scored the second one in the 67th minute. Yeah. And we scored 52, so like 10 minutes later. And then at that point, I was like, the goal differential, it was zeros. Yeah. So I was like, just más falta uno. Like, oh, shit. Like, that's what it's like for me. Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. At that point, it was like, si se puede, si se puede. And so everybody was like, si se puede. And people were like, even there was, like, I don't know how you saw it on TV, but it looked like like the whole stadium was green apart. Just from the get-go, the stadium looked all solid green from just both fans, set of fans wearing green jerseys, right? And I don't know how it looked like on the TV, but some of the white that I'm sure you saw was just some of the Saudis wearing, you know, some of their outfits and stuff. But yeah, mostly green all the way around the stadium. And even some of the Saudis, like there was a bunch sitting around us and they were like, this guy, I remember, kept turning back around like, oh, Argentina scored, Argentina scored, Argentina scored. And just like being super juiced and having it on his cell phone. And he's like, I really want Mexico. At that point, we were 2-0 up on Saudi Arabia.
Yeah.
So I think at that point they stopped like, kind of thinking like, oh shit, like maybe we could advance. Right. Let's at least there's some people that's like, oh, we want the other team to kind of go ahead, you know, in advance. We don't want the other, you know, blah, blah, blah. They have a bias of what
team Poland, to, whatever. Yeah.
Right. Right. So he was kind of like, yeah, I really want Mexico to advance and this and that. I hope you guys get another goal, yada, yada, yada. And so, like, I estábamos rezando que entraba el otro gol de Argentina, most likely, because ours were offsides or ours was like, you know.
We were knocking at the door.
Knocking at the door, right? And we could have had that one in the first half, too. And
yes.
It was offsides and just like a bunch of things. And I was just like, man, it's coming, it's coming, it's coming. Y pues no, nunca llegó. And I think at the end of it, we were, at least me, I was glad that they won, of course.
Yeah.
But of course I still had, you know, stuff to complain about because the tournament as a whole was just not up to par. Right. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like what we're talking about the pod before, and I'm sure all the comentaristas started turning on Mexico and saying how badly they've been playing just the whole time. And then, yeah, you might have to like fill me in on that because I don't really know exactly what the news was saying about Mexico, about their overall tournament. But
yeah.
But like, at least for me, like I was still upset because, you know, they went out to play great that last game. But where was that during the first two? You know what I mean? Like that's something we could have definitely done against Poland, definitely to get a 1-0 for sure. Argentina, even like if we played that way, then you know we could have definitely got a 1-0 or 1-1 something. You know what I mean? If we would have scored, I'm sure Argentina would have been like, "Oh, like we have to get this back." So
yeah.
I don't know, how was it like the commentary? Do you remember what the news was like after that?
It instantly turned ugly against Tata because Tata gets an interview right after the match ends and they ask him about his continuation with the team, and his direct quote was like, oh, my contract ended as soon as that whistle blew.
Right, I did see that.
It doesn't matter how bad Mexico plays at that point. Everybody's going, well, Tata did it. He fucked it up. He didn't bring any youth players. He didn't fucking commit to the team. He set us up for failure here and for the future. He was playing for Argentina, like all of that. Like it didn't matter who performed bad. It was over. It was a wrap, right? And then, you know, a day later or two after people were done yelling at Tata, it was like, well, not even done. It was like, why did Tata set us up so defensively against Argentina? Why wasn't he dealing to die on his sword, right? Playing 4-3-3 like he said he would. Why weren't we more free flowing against Poland? Because we saw Poland against Argentina, they were ass backwards. Against Saudi, they weren't good, right? And against us, they weren't good, but we didn't commit to doing more damage to them, right? So it was all these narratives of like, what were they doing? Chavez came out and had a interview also right after talking about the Argentina game, because they asked him, was like, hey, do you guys feel like if it wasn't for the Argentina game, could you guys have done something else or something more? And they were like, well, we didn't know what he wanted from us. Like, we never went for it against Argentina, and, you know, it showed in their style of play. So it was a lot of like, what happened, you know, to him dying on his sword. Also, like, it was, why do you bring Guardado when he's on one leg already? Why was Herrera not fit there? Like, why did Herrera do what he did and go to the MLS, where he could have been at Atletico fighting for a position and probably been more fit than he was at, you know, the MLS? Obviously, the talks about Chicharito, that he could have, you know, he probably could have banged one or two there, you know, just being the natural goal scorer that it is. The Raul Jimenez thing, which we've talked to death. I think he deserved to be there for all the work he did leading up. And he didn't start any game, right? He always came off the bench, and I was okay with that. I was like, he's coming off the bench. I don't care. I'm not mad. At the end of the Saudi game, Funes Mori comes on. People are like, for what? That was pointless. Funes Mori comes into this game with 7 minutes left. Guess what? Jimenez, con la G, you know, el bebecito, he could have done that easily, and he could have had a World Cup experience. It was like one mistake after another, just stacked on stacked on stacked, you know, like a fucking tres leches cake, bro, just piled up. But the tres leches cake was nasty at the end, you know, it wasn't even a good one.
No, I feel all of that. A lot of good points. Just why Funes Mori just getting the least amount of minutes, when just bring somebody else, right? That's younger, that's been playing better, that has more time in Europe, you know, Diego, you know, just the ex, all the ex players from Pachuca.
With Antuna, that last goal, that last one that Antuna takes a touch inside and like,
yes.
And the guy gets it. Dude, Lainez la mete con la zurda de primera.
Right, exactly.
And he gives you more. Linus gives you more than Antuna
does. For sure. And like you mentioned, it's just a lot of things that have to do with him. I feel like he brought Antuna because he knows him from when he played over in Atlanta FC, or is it Atlanta FC or whatever, but when he played in the MLS. Yeah, he did. Yeah. Okay. And he won the MLS title with them. And so, you know, just doing that and bringing the players that he's been like comfortable with, that either, you know, people could talk about whether it's true or not, that the Federation likes it, said, hey, you need to bring this, and which it's, I'm not going to blame it all on him.
Oh, no.
Where for sure he's to blame, because the formation and not dying by like what he's been kind of doing and doing just like things that seem like out of the blue in this World Cup, you know what I mean? Like, so just a lot of different things, him, the Federation, the players themselves. It was just all kind of just like, well, fuck, like everything just went, I don't even have the words to shit. Exactly. You know? So hopefully this time around, their federation I don't know, dude, we'll just wait and see what kind of more BS they have up their sleeve for 3.5 years from now. But, overall, I think it was obviously a disgrace showing by them, could have shown more. I saw a lot of pictures with the players and their families, so I'm sure, and I don't know if I haven't really heard the news about what the players are doing afterwards, but I'm sure they have a nice little vacay since they're off in Liga MX right now anyways. So I'm sure they're probably still over there in Dubai or Bahrain or something like that, just getting some just more vacay before they go back to the Liga MX and stuff. But yeah, dude, that's how I felt it. Real quick, I know we didn't talk about this, but as we talked about a lot of negatives so far, but for you, best player of the three games?
Edson for me was honestly a standout. I don't think he probably could have done, he could have done better maybe. But I really think if he would have played that Argentina game, he would have showed his level. Like,
for sure,
he was better than the midfielders that played against Poland and Saudi. I wanted to see him against, honestly, midfielders at his level. And I think that Argentina midfield was a game he should have played. I was very happy with his first game, and he just kind of dropped down after that. Because the Saudi game, I think he had a chance, right? Like the one-on-one with the keeper at the beginning. I feel like he just wasn't confident or felt too much pressure, because he should have just chipped the keeper. No, you don't have confianza, I think. He went down instead of going up. And then Montes, bro. Montes, a center back, he's our center back of the future, dog. Like he...
Sure.
I mean, yeah, bro. Like, I was very happy with him. And obviously, Luis Chavez. I mean, que más quieres? Con el tiro libre alone, he reminded me of Ramoncito, dog.
Yeah,
like that's in Ramoncito, you know what I mean?
For sure. Yeah, that was a banger.
About that.
Yeah, dude. And so, like, funny thing is, I missed both goals when they went in. Oh. So whenever, I was there. I looked the way and the goals go in.
Any number two said he walked to go get the beer zeros and he missed both goals.
Right. Yeah. He was gone for like 20 minutes. I was like, what are you doing? Wasting 20 minutes going to get Bud zeros. Like, get the fuck. I went away every game. He had to get a beer. I was like, why, my dude? Why? Yeah. You just get water at that point.
First,
what? Oh my god. Dude, anyways. But after I missed the two goals, anytime we went forward to the attack or that last free kick that the Saudi goalkeeper saved just barely, I closed my eyes and looked away at everything. I was like, if I miss the first two not looking, I gotta look away for the rest.
It's the next one,
you know what I mean? Like anytime they like went to attack and they were called off sides, or like, oh, this is one time, I think it was Henry towards the end. He like got a pass in through the back line, and I was like, yes. And then I was like, oh shit, I gotta look away. And then sure enough, I'd start looking away and he had scored, and I was like, oh, and he was offsides. And I was like, oh my god, dude.
Yeah.
But I think player for me, for sure, Edson Alvarez, player of the tournament. I hope he just keeps getting better over there. And honestly, I hope he stays at Ajax for a while.
I don't know, bro. Maybe for another season.
The thing is,
gonna come knocking in January, bro.
Well, you know, I do hope another team comes knocking, like another team, not Manchester United, that will let him play. You know what I mean? That he could play Champions League again. Because, you know, what happens is you'll go away from that team and like, you won't play anymore, especially as a Mexican. You know, we've been seeing it a lot, you know?
Yeah.
So as just because I want him to keep playing and be consistent, and he plays so well there, I guess I'm thinking that if he goes somewhere else, he's not going to be able to play as much, and I want him to keep playing, you know, consistently. So,
I got you.
Yeah.
Quick thing on him. My selfishness is I hope Chelsea comes knocking, because I would love Edson to be the first Mexican player ever to play for Chelsea. I think
that would be something,
right? And as obviously a Mexican fan and a Chelsea fan, I think that would be just, I instantly cop in his jersey, instantly. No questions
for
asked,
sure.
Right?
For sure.
But as a fan of his career, being that he played at 18 years old at his first World Cup and had a terrible last game, and I was there, watched him score the fucking own goal, you know, like shit like that. And watch him progress as much as he has. I think a move to either France or Germany is better than anything else at this time. One more move for to sure. One of those two leagues, play 2-3 years, then go to the Prem or go to Spain in your prime and kill it. You know what I mean? And then that's it, bro. You end your career in Spain or the Prem and come back to America and dog that shit up.
Right. But we'll see. No, that'd be good. But overall, I hope as far as Mexican players, I hope more can go out towards Europe and hopefully this is like a wake up call, even if the players chosen are the ones that like the federation wants and their homies with. As I hope they want to go out to Europe and make the same amount of money and just get better training and better experience out there so that we can have a better chance next World Cup and in the future. Cause you know, every team that has advanced has players in Europe, you know what I mean? So even Morocco, you know, they have their 2-star players, Ziyech and Hakimi. They're, you know, they're starters for their team. Starting, so, yeah. Right. And two of the biggest teams in the world. So look how far they've gotten, right, with just 2 players. So,
yeah. Well, speaking of Morocco, we won't start there, but we're going to talk kind of rapid fire here of the group stages. We are now in the quarterfinals, but we're going to talk a little bit about the round of 16. Let's start off by the. You didn't get to any round of 16 game, did you?
No.
You watched the last group. So actually, tell us really quick, how was your last game? Because that was the Japan Spain game that you went to. Yeah. So how was that, bro? How did you those upset? I was trying to watch, like, I was at brunch with Nadine for your guys' birthday's day, whatever. Yeah. And we went to Bill's Cafe in Pleasanton, and the homies, the paisas, had the game on, and I had the game on my phone, and people were yelling, "Gol de Costa Rica!" You know, all this shit. So, and then it's like, "Oh, what the Japón?" And we're like, "Oh shit, Spain and Germany are out! What the fuck?" So yeah, kind of tell me how that atmosphere was, bro. Were the
españoles or what? See, bro, like, you know how the Spanish play, you know, all possession, you know. Neutral passes, you know, bore you to death with the neutral pass and barely any kind of positive pass. And that's how it was. They were playing Japan that way. And Japan was kind of like holding their own and getting some good counters and some good transition play in whenever they could get the ball. So it was essentially in the first half pretty boring. It's the second half when the 2 goals came in. Well, Spain scored first, right, with Morata in that first half. Missed that one as well because I was just walking into the stadium, and I thought, well, Spain is just going to hold the ball here, and this is the end of the game right here, 1-0. Hella fucking boring, right? Mm-hmm. But then, no, sure enough, the second half came around and kind of just got that goal and just changed the whole fucking mindset. I think it was one of those like quick transitions that I was speaking of, and kind of got, you know, at that point already Spain was just not playing as well, and you could see the more let's take it to them in Japan's mindset. So that was happening, and at the same time, like you're saying, the Costa Rica Germany game was going on, and everybody was kind of just like, oh shit, Costa Rica scored. And we're like, wait, slow down. What the fuck? And
Costa Rica scored again.
Yeah. And like, and Germany has scored first, right? So we're like, oh, you know, same old, like nothing's going to change. Yeah. Tejada ends up scoring. Nor gets ends up being a Nor own goal. Right. And so now you're 2-1 up and Costa Rica's freaking advancing with Japan at this point.
Yeah.
You know, so you're knocking out Germany and Spain, and you're just like, holy fuck, everybody's blowing up. Like the second that second goal went in for Costa Rica, the stadium blew up. And I think even the players had to have known, like, oh shit, like something's going down, you know? But like after that, just the goals started coming in for Germany and the
King, you know.
Yeah, dude. Like after that, it was just kind of like, well, you know, it's typical. still Germany didn't advance. Costa Rica didn't advance. It was still Spain because Japan was, you know, beating them. And Japan was beating Spain, sorry.
Yep.
I thought that game was overall really good, especially that second half. Japan, like I said, was taking it to Spain, and Spain just either was like, well, with this score line, you know, we'll still advance, you know, we're going to play our game how we always play. We're not going to really change anything. They made a, you know, it's one inch, right? That Spain have. They have a killer bench too. So I'm just happy that I got to see those players. I remember I was texting you at the beginning of the game, like, oh, bro, Aspi, Fernan, like, Morata, watching all these players, you know, and it's, yeah, it's just, you know, like, when do you ever get to see these players, right? Rodri was there too, Gavi, like, Busquets, like, yeah, I rarely go over to Europe to watch them play, so it was actually still pretty neat.
It was pretty dope, yeah. No, that's dope, bro. I dig it. I love it. Also, I got to say this before we switch topics and shit. This might be a two-podcast thing, honestly, but we'll do it another time. Dude, me saying that Uruguay was a dark horse and then not even making that out of the group? Pendejo, no mames. All I know is a funny TikTok video. Ryan Chick is doing her live feed or whatever, recording herself, you know, and then she finds out that who scored? I'm trying to remember in that group. That Korea had scored.
Okay.
And then she's like, no, Dios mío, no, concha de tu madre, no. Korea, no, she's yelling, and then she's like telling the Uruguayos to yell at the field because Korea scored. And then you can see pinche Dientudo finds out that Korea scored, and they're like, we need one more. We are just
right.
Without the dude, que cagazón way to go out like that, bro. It's like the South Korea to do that to Portugal, bro. Y lo que, like, damn, you know, that was intense. So those are another one of those where I was like, wow.
Yeah, there's a bunch of games that were crazy that just came out of nowhere. And you're just like the Belgium game or Group F where Belgium is out. Was wild. You know, the Brazil was always secure. They're probably like the most, I didn't think they were going to be that great, even though they won every single game to qualify, but they just look so freaking strong. I wanted to jump into that England-Senegal game, the round of 16. 3-0, England against Senegal. Henderson, Kane, and Saka all score.
Hendo scoring the first goal. I was so surprised. We have a couple of Liverpool fans in a soccer group chat that I have. Well, like our soccer team, indoor team, plus like soccer group chat. And I went and removed, I literally was like, before y'all start talking about Hendo, and I removed them both from the chat, bro. Had to do a shout out.
No, you had to.
Chris and Fresh. Had to remove them from the group chat. Couldn't have no Hendo talk in that group chat, bro.
No, but hey, he scored. I think he started all.
No, I think that he didn't was start everything but one.
Didn't he start the last game, the third game? No,
or maybe he did. These are the two games that he started in. Yeah.
Okay. Well, yeah, him and I didn't think Foden was going to start this game. I had Rashford starting. I had him on my fantasy, and it was just really easy game for them. I felt like they didn't have too much to kind of deal with. Senegal was just not, they just didn't have anything against all the Premier League players. You know what I mean? They just didn't, Mendy, his goalkeeper, he saved as much as he could, you know, and Koulibaly did what that's what it is. Koulibaly did what he could as well, but no, it was really tough for them as a team to kind of just cope. You know, you have, you know, SAR, you know, championship team, things like that. So they made it to that round, Senegal, but you know, obviously it was always going to be them out first, right? So we'll see England play France next on December 10th, and that's the next game we'll talk about real quick. France 3, Poland 1.
Walking.
Yeah, for sure. Bro. Another team that
we would have done
playing hella much good. I think so. I think so.
We would have been better.
Right. Right. But tell me how you saw this game. We'll switch up. We'll switch back and forth.
Yeah, no. I just Giroud, bro.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's aging like fine wine, the whole boy. Especially for a team where the strikers around him, forwards around him are so mobile. He's perfect. Honestly, no offense to Benzema, but I think France is a better team with Giroud up top than Benzema. Like, he just occupies that space and lets Mbappe work. Let Griezmann work. Let Dembele work. He's there. He's ready. Mm-hmm. He opens up all those spaces. I almost feel like Benz drops into zones, you know. I'm not saying they would have played bad or that it wouldn't have got through, but I don't know. Giroud's just such a perfect striker for this team.
He really is. Like you said, he's got Mbappe and Dembele on the wings, fucking running in next to him. He's like that perfect nine. He just holds the ball, passes it out, and then they take off. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Giroud can do that first post kind of flick off corners and crosses. You know, yeah. he's got the odd, you know, shot from outside the box, just outside the box. He's an overall great freaking player. You saw him play. He was playing for Chelsea, played for Arsenal, same kind of capacity, and just amazing team. That whole team is amazing. I would say if I had to say anything bad about them, their weakest link is probably Lloris. I just want to
absolutely
just he's so old. Lloris, I want to say that sucks. Right. He really does. Not even just because he's from Spurs, but I think actually that is why, because he's from Spurs. Exactly. Right. all right. Next game real quick. Morocco, Spain. That one was a fucking thriller. Went all the way to PKs. Dude, like we said, that shit was wild. Wild fucking scenes out here, dude. I don't know how fucking Spain misses all those PKs. It was just incredible to see. Like, they weren't even trying.
Young, bro. I said this at the beginning when we started doing some pods. I was like, the moment Spain gets a team that is going to taparles un poquito away, drop into defense, and not give them space to breathe when they get the ball into that kind of fast midfield, they're going to have a hard time. And they did.
Yeah,
they did. And great defense, bro. Super blocks, great goalkeeping, and take them to PKs and it's 50-50. And the young mentality of that Spain team wasn't up for it. They just weren't there.
Yeah, I totally agree, dude. And we were talking about Hakimi and Ziyech being like the main players on the team. But, bro, Buffal on the opposite side, he was freaking – he was showing me Ronaldo-esque moves. Up there, just 29 years old, you know, I don't even honestly know what fucking team this Angers team is from. He's from France, and he is, if I can find it real quick, they're last fucking place, fucking place in the French league. And he was killing it. He's going to get freaking another contract somewhere else easy.
Sure.
But congrats to Morocco for beating Spain, discipline and just fighting, and just took it to them. So it was cool.
We got 5 minutes, bro. We can do this. 1 minute per team right here. Ronaldo gets benched and Portugal puts on the best fucking display that I've seen from them in years.
Oh, yeah.
And coach gets a fucking green gig, renew his contract now. You put in the bench Ronaldo.
Right.
The guy you put in scores a hatty.
Right.
And then you score six and an assist. And you score six.
Right.
I mean, Switzerland's bad, but that's a genius move.
Yeah, no, it was really cool. There was talks about them getting in a fight beforehand or disagreement, whatever, whether that was the case or not. Maybe I think the coach knew, like, if I was a coach, I would want to put Ronaldo in for sure because it's a knockout stage. But at the same time, I was never kind of nervous about Switzerland being a force to be reckoned with at this stage. Bruno Fernandes and Silva, I think, would have been, were more than enough. And Silva didn't even do all that much. Bruno with the assist, Joao Felix with two assists. Like you said, Ramos.
Bench, bro.
Yeah, dude. Exactly, exactly. I think this guy, Ramos, was what's his face from Liverpool's replacement, right? At Benfica, right?
I think he was already at Benfica, but he was kind of like the backup striker at the time.
Right, exactly. So imagínate that, bro. Para tener este güey, and he's gonna show so well. He did show so well. It was just an awesome, they looked so good this time around, much like a Brazil, that Brazil game. Which we'll get into in a second, but you know, also strong team. Yeah. I think they'll also be playing. They'll actually be playing Morocco on the 10th of December. I think Portugal's got that one, and yeah. I think France beats England. So I think it'll be France Portugal on that side.
I agreed. I think France Portugal will be on that side, and it's starting to line up. Brazil, mm-hmm. bro, easy money. That's all I gotta say. I mean, I'm not gonna. They have two of the best goalkeepers in the world and some sure. of the best superstars going forward that there is. Simple as that. Mm-hmm. There's nothing else to talk about for me on that game, to be fair.
No, it's, yeah, they have all the superstars. They've been playing really well. Actually, a little bit surprising for me because, like I mentioned earlier, like even though they won all their qualifying games, undefeated in there, like I think their warm-up games didn't look too great for me, so that's why I was kind of like, and they might not be that much favorites. But to be honest with you, I don't know how you feel about this, but I feel Brazil has had the easiest World Cup so far and are having still the easiest kind of run-up teams getting towards the final. So
Croatia, bro, I
think they smash them. I think they smash them. 4-0. 4-0.
Oh, God, that's bad. Okay, well, Croatia beats Japan in PKs. Japan was terrible at PKs, which they're known to be really good for set pieces. A lot of these Asian teams are great at set pieces, right?
Right.
So I think if Croatia gets them in the midfield, they might be able to win the game. But I
doubt that.
Gets by. Okay, but anyway. Netherlands... Yeah,
go ahead.
Oh, go for it. No, I was going to say Netherlands is a cakewalk for Netherlands, right?
Yeah, cakewalk. USA didn't even stand a chance. I don't know where their head was at. Maybe just nervous. Maybe they wanted to just control more of the game. But Netherlands has just so much more quality than the U.S. has and experience. You know, a big talk was that the U.S. had one of the youngest teams at the World Cup. And I think it definitely showed at this point. But Netherlands against Argentina will be that next game on the 9th.
Sorry, Aussies. We're not even going to mention you. My bad. That was an easy game for Argentina.
Yeah, that really was.
But it was cake.
So, yeah, it was cake. It was obviously a win for Argentina. So Netherlands, Argentina, December 9th. Croatia, Brazil, December 9th. So fix your fantasy teams if you have one for the World Cup. I got to do that still. And yeah, it should be a good... quarterfinal freaking games coming up, but I think you want to call right now who you're going to see in the final?
No, not ready. We'll talk about this next pod. Not so, ready.
Okay.
Thanks, guys. Good. We'll catch you later on the London Rivals. Thanks for watching. Follow us on social media. Peace.
All right. Take care. Yeah.